Most thoughtful people must have been puzzled at the fact that our generation has more, far more knowledge of so-called human sexuality than any previous generation. Any thoughtful person must be puzzled at the fact that our generation has more books and tapes and seminars and radio and television, experts on the subject of marriage and marriage teaching than all the previous generation put together. I think any thoughtful person has to be puzzled at the fact that this generation has more information on communication in marriage than the previous generations all put together, and yet the rate of divorce is unprecedented. The rate of marital infidelity is unprecedented. The rate of discontentment in marriages is unprecedented. The rate of fear of commitment to marriage on the part of young men is probably unprecedented in our time. Surely any thinking person must have asked themselves the question, is there a relationship between the two? On the one hand, we have so much unprecedented knowledge and information. And on the other hand, we have unprecedented failure. Obviously, I have thought about the subject for a long time and prayed about it for many years. I've been deeply concerned about it as a pastor who cares passionately and deeply for people. When I see them in pain, when I see them suffering, and obviously I've given this a whole lot of thought. And let me share with you my conclusions, and they're my conclusions. And when I tell you it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God. When I give you my own thoughts, I tell you they're my own thoughts. And I'm convinced in my own heart is that the core reason for infidelity in marriage is selfishness. And the core reason for selfishness is lack of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And lack of love for the Lord Jesus Christ is manifesting itself for lack of love for a spouse and children, let alone for the body of Christ at large. And as I reflected on this plague of selfishness that seemed to have invaded not just the media and the television, but even many a church, and as it seemed to be invading even some Christian homes, as I reflected on this plague that seemed to be in the air that we breathe, it causes me to wonder if we're not living in the days that Jesus talked about, when the love of many will grow cold. I just wonder. I'm not making a statement. I just wonder. I certainly pray every day, come Lord Jesus. And those of you spiritually sensitive people will understand when we see true love, which is agape, that's commitment, that is absolutely commitment no matter what. That's what agape love is. When we see true love is being exchanged for selfish lust, when we see what should have been a lasting relationship and a lasting commitment is exchanged for self-interest. When we see self-giving is change and exchange for instant gratification. When we see the sacrificing of our comfort for the glory of God to be exchanged for what is convenient, I have to wonder, how low can it get? And so I want to declare to you that I have no intention of standing here of giving you one more lecture, one more advice on communication and marriage. I have no intention of doing that. And I'll tell you why, because the older I get, the more I am absolutely convinced in my own spirit and in my own heart that if a person is not willing to hear and heed the Word of God, all of the advice in the world will not help you. All of the preaching in the world will not help you. All of the explanations in the world will not help you. All of the rationalization in the world will not help you. All of the counseling in the world will not help you. All of the information and knowledge in the world will not help you. All of the prodding and exhorting is just not going to help you if you are willing to hear and heed the Word of God. And the Word of God before us is the command, the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. I want you to turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 27. Here's what Jesus said about the seventh commandment in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 27. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that everyone who looks, really more literally gazes at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than the whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than the whole body go to hell. He is dealing with the root of sin, not just the fruit. Just as he said that anger is the root for the fruit of murder, he is saying that continuous lust is the root of the fruit of adultery. He warns us about the root of adultery. He explains that adultery doesn't just happen. He is saying that adultery gets into our minds through our eyes and then becomes reality. As always, Jesus is always concerned about us opening the door to the wild animal to come into the house and then complain when he devastates the house. He's saying, shut the door, shut the door. And often we can never shut the door by our own strength. Only through the power and the blood and the power of the Holy blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit can we do it. Jesus, of course, speaking figuratively, speaking here about gouging your eye and cutting your hand. This is the way the Hebrew people speak. Here's what he's saying. He said, give up whatever is necessary, even the most cherished things you possess, your eyes, your hand, your limbs, in order to protect yourself against evil. You know, whenever a leader falls, a lot of people get shocked and they get surprised, and we should be. We should be shocked. We should never be used to that. But in reality, while the knowledge of falling is shocking and it shocks us, it didn't just happen overnight. These things do not happen overnight. Many times I tell our staff and in various times, and I explain to them that all sins, like and adultery is included, is like a gas leak. And this gas leak has been going on for a long time, and it's very slow and almost imperceptible. But then as soon as the spark hits, the house is burnt down. Watch out for the gas leak. That's what Jesus is saying in common language. Watch out for the gas leak. In fact, I tell the new members luncheon whenever I get the chance to be with them, and I tell them about me, who I am as their pastor and so forth. One of the things I share with them is some of the letters that I get from listeners from all over the country. And some listeners would write to me, we thank you for standing for the truth. We know it's not easy, and so on, which is great encouraging. And then some of them would say, please don't fall. And you know what? I really deeply appreciate that. I deeply appreciate that incredible encouragement, and I take it to heart. I deeply appreciate it. I never resent it. But I want to tell you that the primary cause for adultery is lack of accountability to our spouses. It's lack of accountability to our spouses. Now, I know that's harder for men. It takes humility to do that. Let me tell you something. I consider my wife to be my primary congregation. If I'm not a good pastor to her, I will not be a good pastor to you, and you need to go and find a good pastor. That if I'm not a good pastor to my family, if I'm not a good pastor to my wife, I will not be a good pastor to you. I want you to hear me right on what I'm going to tell you. Anyone who spends so much time, whether in ministry or work, at the expense of time with your spouse or your children, I want to tell you there is a gas leak happening in your life. Anyone who spends a great deal of time alone with somebody of the opposite sex who's not your spouse, there is a gas leak, and the gas leak will continue until sooner or later the spark is going to be lit. Anyone, whether in a church or outside of the church, if they begin to confide in a person of the opposite sex, other than their spouse, sooner or later, the spark is going to catch fire. In fact, I can tell you, last Tuesday, as I was fasting and praying and preparing this message and reading, and I thought of some humorous stories about what causes adultery, what causes divorce, and so on. And you know what? Right in the middle of my prayer time, in the middle of the day, the Lord says, Michael, there's nothing humorous about this. There's nothing funny about it. This is serious business. The suffering and the pain that results from adultery, the deep-seated guilt that results from adultery, the devastation that results from adultery, is not funny. And that is why what I want to share with you very briefly, three lessons from the life of King David. You know, King David could not deal with the root of sin, did not deal with the root, and he ended up with the fruit. Had he was heeding the words that later to be spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, he wouldn't have been in the mess that he found himself in. And you know what? 1,000 years later, that was felt even today. I don't care who you are or what you do, because these are the words to me as well as are to you, that if the man who won great victories for Israel, if the man who conquered all of his enemies, if the man who wrote these beautiful psalms and hymns, if this man whom God said of him that I found his heart after my own heart, if he would fall and stumble, then every one of us must take heed. So what are these lessons that we can take from David's not dealing with the root of sin? Number one, contrary to our culture, adultery is not manly at all. It's not masculine at all. Our culture trying to tell us that it is masculine to commit adultery, absolutely the opposite. In fact, the Bible says the opposite. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, we see David's adultery was a result of not being manly, is a result of failure for godly manliness. The Bible said that he remained in Jerusalem instead of being at work. While he should have been leading the battle, he decided to take it easy at home. Let me tell you something. When a man lives for his wife and children, and you say, well, God first. Look, I'm not going to get sanctimonious with you. Of course, God comes first. We know that. So just let me level with you. The man who lives for his wife and children, the woman who lives for her husband and children, I want to tell you, they will not be easily become vulnerable to sexual temptations. This is very important. Sexual sins are never about just sex. Did you hear what I just said? Sexual sins are never just about sex. They're always connected to the rest of life. They really are. David would not have committed adultery had he been where he should have been, had he been where God wanted him to be. Instead, in his idleness, in his isolation, he gave in to temptation. I want you to hear me right on this one. When you live for yourself, when your focus is yourself, when your money and your effort and your energy are all expended on yourself, when your goals are dream and dreams in life are all self-focused, I want to tell you, watch out. Watch out. David's adultery was far from being manly, as our culture tried to tell us. Secondly, David allowed the glance to become a gaze. There are a whole world of difference between a glance and a gaze. And there's nothing wrong with looking at somebody of the opposite sex and said, isn't that wonderful? God made a good, did a good job. She's good looking. He's a good guy, looking, good looking guy. Well, I don't understand that part, but at least I hear women say that. That doesn't make sense to me, but that's all right. I'm learning. There's nothing wrong with that. But when that glance turned into a gaze, that's what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 5. Don't allow that to be a gaze. Listen carefully. Being very careful of what you continuously read, being careful of what you continuously watch, Being careful of what you log on to on your computer will help you avoid a whole lot of mess. For the very root of the tree of adultery is gazing, looking. You know what makes the internet so dangerous? It's anonymous. It's accessible and it's affordable. I am told that there are thousands, not hundreds, in fact, tens of thousands of pornographic sites on the web, and the new ones coming in every hour, literally. You know, I'm not only fortunate I'm accountable to my wife, but I'm also fortunate I'm accountable to other pastors, prayer partners. We hold each other accountable. And let me tell you something. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is serious business. Beloved, this is important. Don't bury your head in the sand and say, that will never happen to me. That will never happen to my children. Don't bury your head in the sand. Get yourself into some accountability group. Probably many years ago, that accountability thing, because, you know, the culture, the family, and church, everybody was together. But now we need it more than ever as the culture falls apart. Contrary to what our culture said, adultery is not manly at all. It's not masculine at all. And secondly, allowing the glance becomes a gaze, will be dangerous and hazardous for your spirit. And thirdly, you must keep short accounts with your spouse. If you allow the sun to go down on your anger, day in and day out, week in and week out, if you allow anger to go underground inside of you and fester, sooner or later, the devil is going to show up. He will show up. I mean, he's been waiting for an opportunity. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, well, poor you. Poor you. You're such a wonderful person. You don't deserve this. You're such a wonderful person. You deserve better. You are a victim in this marriage. You have been suffering for so long. You know what? Whenever the devil appears sympathetic, brother, run. He's up to no good. He's never up to any good. But especially if he shows up, and he shows up as sympathetic to your situation. If he ever shows up to make you feel sorry for yourself. Oh, brother, take a cold shower. Because you know what the next thing is? Here's what the next thing he's doing. He's preparing a Bathsheba. He's preparing a Bathsheba on the roof. Whatever the cultural equivalence of that in our time. We know from Scripture that Michael, David's wife, the daughter of Saul, like her father, she was cantankerous, she was critical, and she's always gave the poor guy a hard time. He goes down to praise God in the middle of the congregation. She waits for him, and she lets him have it as soon as he comes home. Sure, okay, he's got some problems. Nobody's going to deny that. But you know what? This is not in the Bible. I'm going to say it's not in the Bible. I'm convinced the devil came to him and said, David, you're the king of Israel. Man, you're the most powerful man in the world. I mean, you should get better respect than that. You deserve better, David. I'm convinced the devil did this. And so instead of resolving his conflict with his wife, he gazed on somebody else's wife. And you know what happened to David? Do I need to tell you? The son of his adultery died. David's own family was torn apart with rape and incest. His beloved son Absalom tried to conduct a coup d'etat and get rid of his father as king, and nearly lost everything that he worked for and wanted to accomplish for God. David confessed to the Lord. David repented of his sin. And he received forgiveness from the hand of God. But you know, the scars will always be there. And they've been there to teach us not to make David's mistake and play havoc with the root of adultery. Whatever situation you're in, whatever situation you're in, whatever situation you find yourself right now, I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, whether you are in sexual adultery, whether you are in an emotional adultery, whether you are on your way to breaking the marriage vows, listen to me. I'm urging you, no, I'm pleading with you to do the following. First of all, own up to your sin. Own up to your sin. Confess it to God and to those who need to hear your confession. Not everybody else in the world, but those who need to hear the confession. Repent of it. Receive and give forgiveness. Secondly, begin again. Begin again. Many of you have heard me talk about those 18 months in my life after I became born again. And it was a period of 18 months after my mother died. And I wandered away from the Lord. But you know, every time somebody would speak to me, every time I hear a message when I used to get forced to go to church, every time I come under conviction, the devil will come to me, oh, you can't start again. You can't start again. It's too late now. Stay where you are. But that's what the devil wants you to do. But God wants you to start again. God is saying, remember from where you have fallen and go back to that point. Repent and confess and turn to the Lord because He wants to give you strength. He wants to give you power. He wants to cover you with His blood so that you be an overcomer. Finally, I want to tell you, a growing relationship with your spouse, an accountability in your relationship with your spouse, a deep love for your spouse, a deep commitment to meet your spouse's need. Listen to me. A deep commitment to meeting your spouse's needs will go a long way to a building purity in your marriage. I've never seen a crumbling marriage when both spouses are falling over each other trying to meet the other's need. I've just not seen it yet. Now, if you know of one, please tell me. I've not seen it. I doubt whether there is such one. In fact, I remember the words of Dr. Evans, who was former pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian Church. He said, I never knew a couple that went for a divorce after first praying together on their knees every day for a week. Now, single folks, I know this particular command is for married people because it's adultery. But the Bible talks about fornication. And I want to leave the single ones out. And fornication, just as much of a sin as adultery. And what God wants from you until the day you marry is to be sexually pure. And you say, how can I do this? Well, the way is that watch what you watch. Don't watch what you're watching. Keep your ears and your eyes under the guard of the Holy Spirit. Focus on the death of Christ for your sin. The perfect Holy Son of God doing that for my sin. Not so that I may continue to sin, but so that I may have His power to overcome sin. And finally, I want you to remember this. Sexual temptations can only be run away from. Not discussed, not negotiated, not questions asked, run away. Run away. The Bible is very clear about this. This is one sin that you do not try to overcome, you just run. In contrast to David, what did Joseph do? He ran. He lost his coat, but he kept his fidelity. Better to lose your coat than your fidelity. Paul exhorts Timothy. What does he say? He said, Timothy, from sexual temptations, flee. Just flee. Run. Somebody here today needs to take the first step of confession and repentance. Someone here today, I want to cry with David. Cleanse me with a hyssop that I will be cleansed. Wash me that I will be whiter than snow. I was reading one of the old timers, and he said, talking about how we call it defeat and victory. And defeat and victory, he said, in reality, in most sins, not defeat and victory, it's obedience or disobedience. It's either obedience or disobedience. And if you find yourself in disobedience, God longs for you to become an obedient child. He wants that more for you than you want it for yourself. Do you believe that? Let this be the day. Father, we live in this age and culture that is so sexually charged. Commercials, everything we turn to. And that is why we know that your word said that those who overcame by their testimony and the blood. Teach us today that we cannot obey in our own strength, only in yours. Teach us today to draw upon your strength to stand.
Thanks for listening to this message from Dr. Michael Youssef, recently featured on Leading the Way. If you'd like to know more about us, please visit ltw.org. That's ltw.org.